listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Buzz. Every weeknight, it's Buzz After Dark.
You like that?
With Eric Steele.
Hang out with me Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight for the Buzz After Dark.
It's kind of like the Titanic, except instead of 3 hours to sink, it takes 5 hours.
Freaks come out at night, that's for sure. The Buzz After Dark.
After Dark.
All night long.
Awesome tunes, clothing optional.
Hope you enjoyed the ride.
Weeknight 7 to midnight on 102.9 The Buzz.
Nashville's rock station.
Hello and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt. On August 4th, 2018, Night Demon played the world's biggest gathering of metal fans. And this is the story of Night Demon at Wacken.
How the fuck we doing today, Wacken?
On August 4th, 2018, Night Demon played the Wacken Open Air Festival in Germany. Now, in 2019, a 2-CD, 2-DVD box set of the festival came out called Live at Wacken 2018, 29 Years Louder Than Hell. So that box set contains audio and video of Night Demon's performance of Heavy Metal Heat from their 45-minute live set in front of 10,000 fans. So, the Wacken Open Air Festival. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, metal festival in the world. It's a 3-day festival with over 80,000 metal fans in attendance. 8 stages, dozens of bands. Here's Jervis.
Wacken Open Air. Well, this is hands down the biggest metal festival in the entire world. They even built a whole fucking city around it. Wacken is the name of the village or the town, and that's what the festival is named after, I believe.
Wacken is kind of like a metal mecca. People come from all over the world to Wacken. In 2018, the organizers say there were fans from over 80 countries. Here's Nicholas Brem. He's a longtime friend of the band, Night Demon roadie, the merch guy, also a photographer, and he attended Wacken 2018 with Night Demon.
Wacken is a small village in the north of Hamburg.
you have to drive around an hour. And it's a really small village, all surrounded by green fields with cows on it, and they just have a few hundred people living there. But one time a year, Wacken is the heavy metal capital. I don't know how to say it different. They bring a whole city there. There are 100,000 people there. The area is so big, it's unbelievable. If you know the area without Wacken and with Wacken, that's pretty crazy. It's in the middle of nowhere. It feels like in the middle of nowhere.
So for a few days every August, this tiny German town swells to become the capital city of heavy metal. Here's Marco Manderfeld, big-time German Night Demon fan.
Wacken is, as you may or may not know, one of the, if not the most famous heavy metal festival in the world. They call it the Holy Ground because every heavy metal fan should try to visit it at least once in his lifetime. And they do. You can meet people from all over the world. Some of them travel from the other side of the globe just to reach this tiny village in northern Germany, whose population rises from 1,200 to 100,000 people for the first weekend of August. I went there every year since 2011. This year, for obvious reasons, not. You're probably not supposed to say fuck here, but fuck this virus. Anyway, being at Wacken is special for me because we go there with the same group of people, amongst them my brother Peter, whom you'll hear in a second, and whom I can see as often as I would like anymore, and a group of friends, our Wacken family, that practically only meets once a year. And every year it's the same procedure. We make big plans what bands we want to watch. And then we end up missing 90% of the bands on the main stages because we stay at the smaller stages, the beer garden, or our favorite place, the village itself, which is full of metalheads and friendly and welcoming locals, and many opportunities for beer and Jägermeister. But in 2018, we had one indisputable appointment. And we took our friends there too, who did not know Night Demon up to then. In Wacken, they say rain or shine, because the weather varies from year to year and always between the extremes. 2018 was a shine year and it was searing hot since the sun came up. And so with two festival days behind us and a 40 degrees Celsius tent ahead of us, we marched sporting our Night Demon vests and telling anyone we met in between that they had to see this show.
So Wacken is like a rite of passage for metal fans. It's also a big milestone for bands that get to play there.
So not only is Wacken the biggest metal festival in the world, but it's also a very important festival. It's kind of a rite of passage for a lot of bands. Now, there are, since the festival is so large and there's so many stages and it covers so much ground, they do have certain smaller areas of the festival where, you know, there are, I don't want to say pay-to-play bands, but they have a foundation and they do things around the world where they'll do like a Wacken battle of the unsigned bands in every country, and those bands get to come and play. But, you know, that's kind of at their own expense, and it's not ever featured on the official billing. So for us to be asked by Wacken to come and play and to be featured on the official billing and to be paid very well to do it was really, I mean, I'm not going to say that it validated our career in any sense, because there's plenty of bands that haven't played Wacken and may not play Wacken that have a definitely legitimate career. So I'm not going to say it legitimized Night Demon, but it legitimized us in the German metal world as far as a festival contender. We were no longer looked at as just a small club band, new wave or British heavy metal influenced underground club band, or a mid-level band on a small festival. It really put us to another level I mean, just entering the press tent and doing a cycle of interviews with big magazines like Rock Hard and Metal Hammer. And I mean, we had gotten a lot of coverage in those magazines before, but now it meant something a little bit different. And it was on a much higher level.
Now, let's not forget that Night Demon is no stranger to playing festivals. But this one, Wacken, was on a whole new level. Here's Dusty.
One of the most important festivals for metal in the world, in my opinion. And it's been that way since its inception. Some things stand the test of time, and this festival definitely does. If you're into heavy metal and you're in the heavy metal scene, your dream is to one day play this festival or to go attend it. There's a really great sense of camaraderie with the metal fans that go to this event. There's rarely a fight, and if the fans do see it happening, they'll defuse a fight really quick. The heavy metal fans are some of the nicest people in the world, and they love their music, and they wear their bands on their vests and, you know, sport their battle vests and, you know, eat, sleep, and breathe heavy metal. And, you know, they just want to go and they want to have a good time. And it's one of those things. You know, the importance of the fest to metal, you know, really it's a rite of passage to play this event. The experience for the fans is one of the best that I've ever seen and been a part of. I'm hoping that post-pandemic that it can go back to normal and you can have these giant crowds and everybody just having fun and, you know, everybody's drinking beers and you're having a good time and there's so many smiles and people just being excited. And there's a lot of places to walk around, you know, big parking lot. You can walk freely. You know, you go to your beer garden, you can go get a, you know, sausage and, you know, whatever. So I just think that the importance of it, though, is keeping metal alive, bringing back certain things that people may not have ever been able to see. Like the year that we played, they did the big Halloween reunion, and they played forever. I think they did like, I don't know, it was like 2.5 hours or something. It was a long set. I got to see Judas Priest that year because we played with them, and that was really cool. I know it's not the original lineup or anything like that, but it was really, really awesome to see Judas Priest play that night. I'm a Steel Panther fan, being that I'm a hair metal glam guy. I love the fact that those guys go up there and just joke around. I do wish they would do less commentary in between their songs, because they could probably play like 5 more songs in their set, but they choose to make it a comedy act. So I had some fun with them. I remember hanging out with the Kiss and Dynamite guys, this like German kind of like pop metal band, and they're really cool guys. And we had played a festival with them in the past, and I watched the Steel Panther show with them. I think Jarvis made fun of me for that too, but they're really cool guys, and I had a blast. I mean, that whole day was just, you know, pinch me moment from the start. So it was a really, really amazing event. And I think that that's just the importance of it. Oh, and watching Glenn Danzig up there doing his thing was pretty amazing as well. So there was just a lot of really cool things and bands, and Arch Enemy blew the roof off the place. Really, really cool time. It just blew my mind. And that whole festival just seemed larger than life. The amount of people, how small the town is, the dedication to the event, the fact that it's one of the largest heavy metal fests in the world. It's just an impressive festival, and the whole experience of it is just insane when you go.
So being asked to play Wacken, let's just say it's a pretty big deal, and it can be an important milestone in a band's career. Here's Armand.
Basically like the Mecca of heavy metal festivals in Germany, and I think most of Europe, really. It's probably the biggest heavy metal festival in all of Europe. Two huge main stages in the open field. There's like two stages in the tent that holds about 10,000 people. which is the place that we played in. And I think there's another tent as well. So, I mean, it's just insane. Like, so yeah, it's pretty important to metal, you know? It's like, if you play Vakken, then you're on your way to something. If you headline Vakken, if you play the main stage, which that's our next, that's our next step here. We got pretty close.
Hey guys, Jarvis jumping in here. I want to tell you about Shadow Kingdom Records. Shadow Kingdom was the first domestic label to release Night Demon on CD. They put out the EP in 2013, and they also released a vinyl version of Live Darkness. Listen, you guys need to get your ass to the Shadow Kingdom Records store, okay? Right now, they're offering 10% off for all Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners. Just go to the website, put in the code NIGHTDEMON10. That's NIGHTDEMON10, all capital letters, NIGHTDEMON10. No spaces. Put that promo code in upon checkout to get 10% off. Right now, guys, they have the Bloodstar 7-inch, which has sold over 1,500 copies, and these guys cannot hold on to it. So this next pressing, you want to get that before it goes out, okay? Also, it's SKR Compilation Volume 1. Guys, this is free on Bandcamp. They're giving it away for free. So not only are you going to go to ShadowKingdomRecords.com and put in the code, all capital letters, no spaces, NIGHTDEMON10 upon checkout, you're also going to go to their Bandcamp site and get this compilation for free. You're going to hear tons of fantastic fucking heavy metal. If you love us, you're going to love this label. Check it out, ShadowKingdomRecords.com. Put in the promo code NIGHTDEMON10 and receive 10% off of your entire order. Do it.
So Vakken Open Air dates back to 1990. So it's been 30 years of Vakken Open Air Festival, and it's grown from an 800-person crowd, two-day festival with all German bands, to the huge festival that it is today with dozens of bands and tens of thousands of people.
Prior to that, we had never been. I had always watched the live stream videos and seen a lot of stuff, a lot of past performances at Vakken, and seen how over the years it's grown. I believe when they started 20 years prior to us playing, I mean, it was kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say small, but maybe a 5,000-10,000 person thing. And the year that we played, they sold 100,000 tickets to this thing. So it was extremely overwhelming, to say the least.
Talking with fans that had been going to Vakken since day one, they were kind of a little like, oh, I don't really go to the festival anymore because, you know, it's kind of corporate and people that are there to see all these popular bands. It lost its underground flavor. It's too big now. Honestly, though, for me and playing heavy metal music, I love that appeal of it, that it is so big. But I can understand how people want to stay in that original atmosphere of it being a smaller event. But I just love the fact that it's a huge festival and there's so many people. It's just a huge sea.
So this year, 2020, would have been the 30th year for Vakken, but it's rescheduled for 2021 because of the stupid pandemic. But Vakken 2021, Judas Priest, Venom, Slipknot, Doyle, with Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein from the Misfits, it's his band. Also playing German band The Other, who are also playing the heavy Hamburg Halloween 3 next year with Night Demon. Actually, there's a ton more bands. I'm not going to list them all. I think a lot of them aren't even announced yet. So fingers crossed, everything goes well. And we get festivals on the go again in 2021 for Vakken 2021. So in the summer of 2018, Night Demon had been touring Europe and playing multiple festivals in and around Germany, all in the lead-up to this huge show.
So the lead-up to Vakken was pretty incredible, actually. We had done... We were in Europe in May. Basically, yeah, we were there for the Rock Hard Festival. in Gelsenkirchen, Germany, which is another amazing heavy metal hard rock festival that we've had the pleasure of playing twice. And I actually ended up playing guitar. I actually played, we were there for the whole weekend, and I played 2 days in a row because I actually ended up playing with Sirith Ungol because their guitar player Greg couldn't make that trip because his mom had gotten really sick. And, you know, they were kind of thinking that she might not make it through the week, so he decided to stay home. And I ended up playing with them, which was fucking crazy and awesome. And that's the story for another episode. We had done Bang Your Head Festival, which is another fucking killer, killer, killer metal fest in Germany. The first year we played it, Twisted Sister headlined. That was a great year. Then Accept, I think that was in 2016. Then we played it again in 2018 in July. And Accept was the headliner.
We played Bang Your Head in Germany. Then the next day we were at Devilstone in Lithuania.
Really cool festival in the forest. It was kind of trippy. We weren't really sure what to expect. We'd never been to Lithuania before. But it went off great.
Then we had almost 2 weeks off in Hamburg. We were supposed to write. We partied a lot more than we wrote. But we did work on what became Kill the Pain. That was really just like the inception of that song. I think we started with the intro while we were there and then kind of started to come up with the main riff. I know Armand and Jarvis worked quite a while on that. When we got back home, we turned it into what became Kill the Pain, but that was the inception of the song out there. We had a one-off in Kassel. The Kassel gig, I remember we had to wait for the Euro Cup soccer match to be over. Everyone was outside watching the soccer match, and there was no point to even starting the show until it was over. And then once the show was over, everybody came inside, and it got really, really hot. And it was probably one of the hottest shows I'd played to date. And I just remember kind of getting gassed at that one and really having to push through it. But it was a great show. We always have great shows in Kassel. That's a really, really great spot for us.
And then we did a couple, a couple like club shows. Oh, we did a couple other festivals. Rock the Forest, another kind of festival in the forest, kind of near the area where they do the Rock'em Ring Festival. That was a crazy day. We showed up and there was like this crazy, crazy storm that just came out of nowhere. And the festival almost didn't happen because of the rain, the downpour and the wind. They had to like secure all the banners that were on the stage. And that thing almost didn't happen.
I can't really remember, but I think that was a little weird and organized a little strangely. Everything was taken care of as far as like, you know, our writer and stuff like that. But that was an interesting night. They took care of us and the show was really good. But it was a little weird organized wise. You could tell they hadn't really done it much. Then we played the Free and Easy Fest.
Free and Easy Festival at the backstage in Munich. Yeah, that was not like an open air festival. It was a festival that took place in a couple different clubs.
Oh, that was at the backstage in Munich. That was a really fun show. We hung out with Municipal Waste afterwards, and Hatebreed played that show as well. What's cool about backstage in Munich is they have a couple different stages and different little buildings all on this one piece of property. It's kind of like a rock and roll carnival or like a heavy metal carnival, really. So that night was kind of blurry after the gig because I think some drinks were had for sure. But that was a really good show. We always have good shows at backstage. People come out to see us quite a bit.
And then we did a couple of club shows where we were headlining. And I remember those were really, really good. One of them was in Mannheim at the MS Connection Complex.
It was our first time sold out in Germany. So that was a highlight of our career for sure. Really, really important gig for us that night.
And the other one was in the Bastard Club in Osnabrück, Germany, which is a fucking... So here's the funny thing. The gig we played before Wacken was in a small fucking, basically like a basement venue that held maybe 150 people, tops. Sold out. It was awesome. Stage was like, you know, 10 feet wide by 5 feet deep or something like that. You know what I mean? And then 3 days later, we're playing on one of the biggest stages we've ever played on in front of one of the biggest crowds, if not the biggest crowd we've ever played in front of.
So I looked up the Bastard Club in Osnabrück, Germany. Capacity of 120 people. So Night Demon goes from playing to 120 people in a small club to playing to over 10,000 a few days later. So how does playing a huge festival compare to playing a regular Night Demon show? I mean, at a regular Night Demon show, you're playing for people that specifically bought a ticket to see Night Demon. Festival goers buy a festival ticket, and at Wacken, you can potentially see, you know, a dozen metal bands.
I think the fun part about playing festivals, you know, the audience at festivals like this, is that we are the unknown. We are the new band, you know. It's easy to play a fucking sold-out show when you know everybody's there for you, you know? It's like, okay, these people are pumped. They're going to get into it. You know, our job's easier, I think. It's harder to play these festivals when people don't know you because we want to fucking make that impact and, again, make them never forget Night Demon. You know, we want to fucking blow everybody away, you know? These people see... I don't know. Is it possible to see like 10 to 15 bands a day? I guess if you're running around from stage to stage. So we want to be that one that stuck out that day, you know, in everybody's mind. I know that, you know, that the thing is that there's a lot of people spread out between all the different stages, but, you know, we still played in front of 10,000 people. You know, 10,000 out of 80,000 is a pretty good, you know, piece of the pie. So we just got to do whatever we can to just really kick it over the edge.
When talking about winning over new fans, I don't ever feel the pressure with that. I really don't. Especially in Europe, there are always diehard Night Demon fans up at the front. I feel that pressure more in the clubs, to be honest with you. But at the festivals, our fans, they represent so well. And they're up front that the people that don't know who we are, again, they feel like they're missing out on something. And it's something that they should know about. And I'm not going to give us credit as a great live band for that. I'm going to give our fans in the audience the credit because they're losing their shit and they're participating in everything that we're doing. And that's what... really, and another audience member sees somebody else like him in the audience, like him or her, and wonders, what is the secret? What is there that I don't know? Why don't I know about this? I need to get hip to this.
Hey guys, Nesbitt here. If you'd like to support Night Demon and this podcast, the best way to do it is to become a Night Demon subscriber. Not only will you be doing your part to support a true heavy metal band out there really living it, you'll also gain access to a ton of extras. Bonus audio content, a subscriber-only merch store with rare items from the band's archives, you can stream never-before-heard demos and unearth live concerts from the live vaults, communicate with other Night Demon diehards on an exclusive subscriber forum, and gain early access to all press releases, album pre-orders, new merchandise, and a ton more. And another thing that I think is pretty cool is Night Demon will be donating 10% of every subscription fee to the Metal Cares Foundation, which is a charitable fund the band started in 2014 to aid those in our metal community. So head over to nightdemon.net/subscriber and join us as we make heavy metal history together as one. And on a side note, I'll personally think you're a grade A badass. So it really is a monumental event, especially when you hear the details from a band's point of view. Night Demon actually entered the grounds the day before they played to check in backstage, and the logistics of just getting in and out, bringing in equipment and merch, it's really mind-blowing.
When we ended up getting into the festival that day, we had to check in. It was so strange because we were so far away from the action, and we were just going down this never-ending road in kind of like in a forest. And I'm like, where the hell is this place? I mean, we're in.
You know, it's the grounds are so huge and the directions are crazy, man. Like, you can get lost there so easily. I remember we had to park the van like, I don't know, it was like a mile away or something like that to walk. It was fucking insane. And we could only bring it, you know, to behind the stage to load our gear in and out, like, you know, an hour before we played or something like that. I remember they had a big ramp.
And so we came up to this office and we had to get our credentials. And there was a line there too of, you know, staff and bands. And, you know, we got in the line and kind of got these, you know, usually you pick up your envelope or whatever that has your wristbands and passes. Well, they gave us like the biggest packet I've ever seen. And then we had to go up to this other office and get everything from window sticker parking passes for different days, multiple laminates, different wristbands, food tickets, drink tickets, maps, procedure rules. We had to confirm our catering rider and go over everything with them again. Talking about the merchandise area, which was super, super crazy because it's not like we're a normal show or even a normal festival where the merchandise is somewhat close to the stage. I mean, they have one merchandising area for all the bands and they sell the merch for you. But poor Nicholas, man, I mean, there's so many people at this thing. We really brought a lot of stuff and we wanted to stock up. And, where the merchandise area is, you can't really drive to it. So
getting your merch in and out. And I know our friend Nicholas, who does merch for us, and he's an excellent photographer. He only does merch for us because he is such a good friend to us. I don't think he'd do it for many bands, even though he does. But he had to really just figure it all out when he gets there. Luckily, he speaks German, so he can, you know, talk to people in Germany and get the logistics right as to how he's going to get the merch in and out and just keeping an eye on that kind of stuff. He's really good at that for us. So thank God we have him or else we'd be up Schitt's Creek.
The Vakken staff is insane. I mean, it's like over 1,000 people, but there really wasn't anybody to help him out. So he just had a cart. Luckily he had a cart where he can just put boxes on, but just navigating and trying to find everything here was just, it was such a mind fuck. I was really glad that we came in the day before to just hang out and see what was going on. So I remember the parking pass that they gave us that day was not like super legit. It wasn't like the artist parking pass because we weren't playing that day. So we had to park in some very, very far away field. And I remember I could hear Udo Dirkschneider from Accept. I could hear his set. He was doing some Accept songs. And you could hear him in the distance. And I was like, fuck, man, I really kind of wish I was there. So, like, let's go catch his set. By the time we walked and found where everything was, he had been done. But, yeah, it was really, really interesting going in there. And it was cool, you know, just seeing a lot of the bands backstage and seeing a bunch of old friends and stuff. It was a good kind of precursor. There were some bands that we wanted to see that night that went on like at midnight or 2 a.m. And I remember we had to, I think me and Dustin really wanted to see Mr. Big, but we were not able to do that. Ghost played that night too, I think at like 3 a.m. There's no way we were going to stick around for that. We wanted to get well rested for the next day and be ready to come back and kick some ass. So I think we probably got home around 11 p.m. or 12 a.m. Back to Hamburg at our friend Claudia's house.
Now, there's an interesting part of the story when it comes to Night Demon and Vakken that I don't want to skip over. It's the story of how Night Demon almost never made it into Vakken. There was an incident that could have potentially derailed Night Demon's appearance, and it involves German police, an overpacked van, and the smell of weed.
My name is John Leonardo. I am the guitar tech and driver for the band Night Demon. I've been working with them for the last 3 years or so. So as you can imagine, there's some stories, nice stories from the road. But man, Wacken was definitely one of the highlights of my story with the band.
Okay, funny story. Coming into the festival, we were staying in Hamburg before that, of course, because Hamburg, it's pretty close to Wacken. It's not too far. And, you know, our great friend always lets us use her apartment when we're there. We've talked about Hamburg before and how it's become like our second home and all that.
We had went up to the festival just to kind of get our bearings and kind of get a lay of the land and see where everything was and check in. It's this whole thing. So I think it took us about 45 minutes to an hour to drive there. And we were drinking some beers in the van on the way there. And we were drinking this beer called Jever, which is spelled J-E-V-E-R. And it's a nice beer. It's a good beer. And our friends out there like it. And so we kind of got turned on to it.
So anyway, on the drive in, because I'm sure we had partied the night before, so, you know, a little hair of the dog, whatever. We're cruising in, and, you know, you have to take these little, like, country roads to get to this place. So, of course, there's, like, cops, you know, kind of posted up everywhere. And, like, this is a part of Germany that's very strict on drugs, you know. The weed thing there is still not as cool as it is here. It's still, like, shunned and all that shit, so... You know, as we're driving in, you know, I had cracked a beer, and there's a beer that they drink a lot in Hamburg called Jever. It's a J-E-V-E-R. And it's skunky. It smells like weed. You know, it's like, I think Heineken or Beck's is like that too. And you crack it open, it's like, man, who snapped a bowl, you know?
And the van was smelling like weed, like straight up like weed. We got pulled over by the police on our way to the festival from Hamburg.
So they, you know, we have to stop just to kind of like, you know, check in or whatever. I don't know if it was like a checkpoint. I think it was a checkpoint thing. And they looked at us and, of course, they wanted to pull us over. And they smell what to them smells like weed.
I remember perfectly. We got pulled over. And the police officer was 100% convinced that it was going to take us to jail, everyone.
We had some friends with us and some German friends and also our roadie, Nicholas Brehm, who's very German. And he was kind of translating to us that, like, hey, these guys think we have drugs and they smell weed. And I kind of was, you know, my sense of scent kind of became keen at that moment. And I was like, you know, it really does fucking smell like weed in here.
The German police is a little bit different than I think the American police. They are really, normally they are really nice and polite. And but at a bigger festival like that, they have to search for drugs and alcohol while driving and things like that. Yeah, they stopped us and they didn't see that we are a band playing there. And when the doors from our car opened, a lot of people came out and they had some big guys with us. So just two police guys. And so they wanted to check the whole vehicle. Then they decided one of the policemen was like speaking in his headphones like, hey, we need some more policemen here, come over. And I was like, oh shit, they will open everything. We will stand here for 2 days until they checked everything in the tour van. And when we come to tricky situations, the most time I'm the guy who talk us out of the situation. And I start to talk to them and say, hey, we are just a band. We are playing here tomorrow. We just want to have some drinks here. We have our driver. The driver will drink nothing and everything is cool. And don't worry. And in the same moment, again, the policeman came again and said, oh, I smell it. And
this cop is completely convinced that there's weed in the car. He's like, I smell it. So everybody out of the car. And Nicholas is trying to explain to him, no, look, we're just drinking beers. Honestly.
So he had to step out of the van, me included. The police had me like peeing in a goddamn cup in front of everyone. To, you know, like as a test for drugs and alcohol, because I was driving. Of course, it was negative.
And we had all our instruments, all the backline, all the merch in there. And it's not like you just can open the door and check everything. It's like, it's like you have to unload everything. And we did our best to not let them do that.
I was freaked out a little bit, to be honest, because if the cops think this, I mean, they're going to find a way to make it right for them. So we hadn't even played the festival. We haven't even been in yet. And the last thing we need is for the organizers of the festival or anybody there to think that we tried to bring drugs into the festival, which they did tell us ahead of time, like, hey, don't even try it. So, of course, we were abiding by those rules. But at this point, we're kind of at the mercy of the police here.
After a while, we recognized it's always when we opened a fresh bottle of beer, then we recognized, oh, every time someone opened a new bottle of beer, the policeman said, oh, I smell it again. So so it was a really funny situation because we didn't stop drinking while they are check us. So that was the whole story.
So meanwhile, I'm still drinking my beer on the side of the road. And, you know, they're fine with that, obviously. So anyway, we decided to use them after they were like, cool, I'm going to let us go. We decided to use them and make a little promo video for the festival. And that's something that you're going to see in the subscriber section. Basically us saying, you know, hey, we're Night Demon. We're on our way to Vakken. And we just got checked out by the fuzz. And we're clean. We're clean and sober and ready to rock.
Anyway, after a lot of back and forth, after a lot of discussion between Nicholas and the cop and them searching the van and, you know, the guy calling for backup and all this stuff, we ended up resolving the issue. But for me, it was extremely frustrating because I wanted to be the one talking to him, but he really spoke no English and I didn't know what Nicholas was saying to him. And Nicholas is a very carefree guy. And, you know, I've dealt with law enforcement a lot and I'm pretty confident in the way that I can get my point across without anybody going to jail. So anyway, they did resolve it, thankfully. And at that point, then I had to turn it into a spectacle. And I'm like, okay, so you put us through all this shit. Now you got to get on camera with us and tell the fans that, you know, you thought we had drugs, but we're all clear and we're cool to play Vakken. And I thought that would be a cool, like, you know, little social media promo the day before the show.
They apologized and the guys asked the police officer to do a little video for the festival, like a promo thing. So we would say in German, I'm here with the band Night Demon. They're tested and they're clean for the festival. Something like that. Something really cool in German.
Yes or no?
So yeah. you have to, he has to say it in German after
okay.
We talk.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Kannst du bitte,
so after we talk,
kannst du bitte auf Deutsch sagen, dass er absolut klar sind, also dass sie keine Droge genommen haben und dass sie fit sind, um auf Vakken zu spielen.
Yeah. Ready? Okay.
Also, filmst du schon?
Ja, ja, ich filme die ganze Zeit.
Also nach Kontrolle sind jetzt alle wirklich fit und alle haben freiwillig mitgemacht. Wir haben das ganze Auto durchsucht, haben nichts gefunden. Die Jungs sind alle fit und cool.
Night Demon here, ready to rock Wacken. We have the approval of the fuzz. We'll see you on Saturday.
Clean and sober.
Awesome. Go ahead. Thanks, dude.
And the thing about German cops, or just cops in Europe in general, it's not like here in the States. I mean, they're so relaxed when it comes to protocol. I mean, in the States, if a police officer pulls you over and is walking up to your car, I mean, his hand is on his gun most of the time because he doesn't know what's going to happen. If it goes to a level where they ask you to get out of the vehicle, then, I mean, all eyes are on the people getting out of that vehicle. They're asked to sit on the ground. They may be handcuffed. They may have to sit on their hands. They never leave sight of the cops, and usually backup comes before that happens. In Germany, though, we've gotten pulled over many times, or all over Europe. We've been pulled over so many times. And it's just crazy. Sometimes, you know, the cop's just talking to the driver, and it's like, I'll just get out of the van and just pee on the side of the road because I have to pee or something. And, like, they just don't care. Or you can, like, walk behind their back, and they don't notice, or they don't really pay attention to a lot of the outside things going on, as to where in the States it's very locked down. And once you're detained or you're in some kind of temporary police custody, you're basically looked at as a potential life-threatening criminal. So, you know, we were always used to that kind of treatment. But in Europe, after being pulled over so many times, we got used to how easygoing the law enforcement is as far as that protocol goes. However, you know, I think German cops, when they have their mindset on something and they want to put the smack down, they're going to do it. So I was a little worried about that. But in the end, it turned out really well, and it was a funny situation, and it was another bullet that Night Demon dodged.
What is up, Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners? This is your resident motor mouth, Jarvis Leatherby, telling you about something very, very special here. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology, Volume 3. This is a book, guys. That's right. We all know Decibel Magazine as the number one metal magazine in North America for many years running. But you know what? They also have a fucking killer book series, okay? I want to tell you about this. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology, Volume 3. This limited edition hardcover includes 25 Hall of Fame stories from Decibel's revered monthly series of artist interviews on the making of their classic extreme music albums. Featured in this book are stories behind classic albums such as Stained Glass by Judas Priest, Apocalyptic Raids from our good buddy Tom Warrior's Hellhammer, Pleasure to Kill from Teutonic German Terror creator, Court in the Act from the legendary new wave of British heavy metal gods, Satan, and of course, Abigail from the legendary King Diamond, and last but not least, Night Demon's personal favorite, Heartwork, from the only other band from Liverpool, Carcass. So guys, please head on over right now to store.decibelmagazine.com and grab a copy to read the definite stories of heavy metal's definitive albums. Put in the promo code NIGHTDEMON upon checkout to receive 10% off. That's NIGHTDEMON, one word, all capital letters. Get your 10%, store.decibelmagazine.com. While you're there, guys, go ahead and grab a subscription of the Mag 2. They've got a great vinyl flexi series. Do yourselves a favor here. Get on the level. store.decibelmagazine.com. Promo code Night Demon. See ya.
So Night Demon, with some help from their German-speaking friends, they managed to talk their way out of it. And not only that, they come out of it with a funny social media video to post while they're at it. That video is available in the subscriber section on nightdemon.net. So the guys get to the venue with their gear, ready to rock. And one thing I always wonder as a fan when I see these big festivals is what the backstage is like.
But I remember I did try and get a little downtime backstage, but the backstage for us was not actually behind the stage. It was so far from where we were. They had a whole little, another field, another area set up where they had it gated around, and they had just kind of these small tents that you could kind of have your own room. And then they had like little refrigerators that were filled with drinks from our rider and some food in there. And then kind of like a buffet area for, you know, the 10 or 20 bands in that specific backstage section.
The backstage area at Wacken was really cool. They had their own, like the trailers and stuff that they give you to get ready and to cool down after the show, you only get X amount of time to have that trailer, you know, and they put snacks and stuff in there and your waters and, you know, a couple beers or whatever. It just gives us a chance to kind of get in there and get settled in.
A lot of festivals, like, they'll have trailers and they basically like rotate the bands. Unless you're the headliner, then you have a room there all day long. But most times, yeah, they'll have like, okay, Night Demon, you have got the backstage from, you know, 3:30 to 6:30, and we play at 5 or something like that. So you have a couple of hours before the set and then like an hour or so after the set to wind down or do whatever, have your celebratory drinks and all that shit.
Bigger festivals like that, though, I don't really spend a whole lot of time in like the backstage trailers that we get, because I'm setting up my drums a lot of times and just being super picky about what I'm doing. But Wacken was cool because all the artists were all together in like a big courtyard area. And
some of this stuff can just be so overwhelming. And at the end of the day, all you're really there to do is perform and play your music. So you got to try and get that out of your head. Sometimes I have a problem with that because I'm so worried about the logistics. Even though we have such a great crew, and I know we're not perfect, but I just try and pay attention to as many small details as I can. But oftentimes there, you can just obsess over everything so much that you're just never going to have enough time to do everything. So you have to decide to have enough time to do the important things. And the cool thing about it, it's like when a band is done at Wacken, I mean, all the gear leaves the stage and a whole new set of gear comes on. And there's a lot of crew there, so we do it really quick. Their crew worked really well with ours, so that was pretty seamless. I felt pretty good about it. My nerves weren't through the roof until our intro tape came on.
So it's the day of the show, and Night Demon is about to go on stage in front of 10,000 metal fans at the biggest metal show in the world. Next week, in part 2 of this 2-part episode, we'll go through the set and listen to Night Demon's performance, and we'll also talk about the nerve-wracking onstage incident that almost ruined the entire Night Demon Wacken set, and how Night Demon managed to dodge yet another bullet by thinking quickly on their feet on stage. If you don't want to wait, the audio from the full set is available as a streamable bootleg album in the subscribers section of nightdemon.net. We also have never-before-seen photos from that weekend and, of course, the hilarious video of the German cop. So until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, Click on the subscriber tab and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Unbearable suspense keeps you on the edge of an abyss of terror.
Take a cult film odyssey into cinemadness with Cinematic Void. Based in Los Angeles, Cinematic Void is a film series that specializes in horror and exploitation films. Currently, we are hosting Cinematic Void Up All Night in the Cinemadness Movie, a monthly virtual screening series, as well as the Cinematic Void podcast, where we dive deeper into the world of cult cinema. You can find Cinematic Void on the World Wide Web at cinematicvoid.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like what we do, you can support Cinematic Void by joining our Patreon. Until next time, see you in the void.